One of the country's top COVID experts recently wrote, "The cavalry has arrived." What Dr. Xi Jia meant is we have the help we need to beat back COVID: masks, testing, vaccinations, and ventilation. Now, that last one makes sense, right? The coronavirus is airborne. We breathe it in and out. But Jia went on to say, be careful. There's a lot of snake oil being sold, things that don't work. So what does, and what questions should you be asking as you're going back to work or sending your kids to school? Professor Joseph Allen is director of Harvard's Healthy Buildings Program, a professor at Harvard School of Public Health. And Professor, as you've said, you've been screaming this from the rooftops: ventilation stops transmission.
And all of the transmission is happening indoors in under-ventilated places. We've known this for a long time now.
Right. So what are people buying that may not work?
There's many products being offered to schools in particular, and this is everything from plexiglass, deep cleaners, and all sorts of disinfecting agents. We've seen videos of people fogging classrooms and what looks like fogging the ceiling. And then there's a whole other set of technologies that claim to reduce the amount of virus in the air, but the efficacy data is limited. And there's also the potential that they generate secondary pollutants.
Ooh. So, first of all, plexiglass doesn't work. You know, our whole world is being the supermarket. And everywhere you go, there's a plexiglass between you and other people.
The supermarket, I think it's okay in front of the cashier. They're facing hundreds of people per hour. But really, you know, the widespread use of plexiglass everywhere else can actually impede airflow. And it doesn't stop what we really need to stop: respiratory aerosols that can carry the virus from deep in our lungs. If you think about it like cigarette smoke, it's just going to go around and fill up the room. So there's an overuse of plexiglass. And in fact, there are some studies that show that, as we have been warning, that plexiglass can impede good airflow. And there's at least one cluster investigation at a school where plexiglass is implicated in disrupting good airflow and trapping some of these respiratory aerosols. I've been very clear since the beginning with my recommendations. First, bring in more outdoor air. That could be as simple as opening up a window. Two, if you have a mechanical system, upgrade the filters to a MERV 13 filter or better, MERV, MERV 13. Typical building has a MERV 8 filter, which might capture as few as 20% of the particles. MERV 13 will get you 80% or better. Three, if you can't do those things, you can supplement this using a portable air cleaner with a HEPA filter. No bells and whistles. Avoid things like ionizers or UV in these portable air cleaners. Just a portable air cleaner with a HEPA filter sized right for the room. Those three strategies can be very effective at reducing the amount of respiratory aerosols that are in a room.
Okay, let's back up. Most offices are heated and cooled with an HVAC system. That's heating, ventilation, air conditioning. You mentioned filters. They have these MERV filters. MERV stands for Minimum Efficiency Reporting Values. Most offices have like an 8. You're saying 13 is the one you want to see.
Of course, we want to be filtering out as much as we can. And same with the HVAC system in terms of the outdoor air rate. We've designed there for minimum amounts of outdoor air. We've kind of stopped letting our buildings breathe, but we need to let them breathe again. We've been designing our buildings for the past 40 years without human health in mind.
Talk about increasing the outdoor air into the building. Yes, throw open a window. Throw open two right across each other, even better, right? But the air that comes into these systems, they come in through these damper plates that open and close. What do you do there? Just simply adjust your damper plates?
Yeah, right. It depends also on the outdoor weather. But any building manager knows that the amount of outdoor air that's coming in depends on outdoor weather conditions and the heating and cooling capacity of the system. So they constantly are modulating or adjusting these outdoor air dampers, essentially changing how much outdoor air comes in. The problem is, if you're recirculating that air with these low-grade filters like a MERV 8 filter, you're not capturing much of that virus. So it's really these two in combination that work really well. You want to open up those dampers, bring in as much outdoor air as you can, and then make sure it's going through these better filters. And in the event you can't do those, yeah, it's too hot, it's too cold, you can't bring out enough outdoor air, ventilation and filtration have to be thought of as a team, and they're working together. So if it's an area with bad outdoor air pollution or high wildfires and wildfire smoke, well, then you want to bring in less outdoor air, but that's where your filtration game has to pick up. And when it's temperate, weather's nice, bring in as much outdoor air as you can. That's a great strategy.
Air changes per hour, the ACH.
Yeah, air changes per hour, ACH, the amount of air in the room or building that gets changed every hour. Air changes per hour is ACH. We've been recommending 4 to 6 air changes per hour, through any combination of ventilation and filtration, turning over the air very frequently.
Okay, so we need more air changes per hour, a MERV 13 filter. We're going to have all of this at hearnow.org because there's a lot. And Professor Joseph Allen of Harvard's Healthy Building Program, let's now take up carbon dioxide monitors. When we breathe, we exhale carbon dioxide. Some companies are using carbon dioxide monitors to measure ventilation.
Yeah, these lower-cost CO2 monitors are just terrific for helping to understand the amount of outdoor air you're getting in. I have two of these on my desk right now. And so if there are high levels of CO2, it's telling you you have an underventilated place. And for years, our field has used these as a quick indicator of this ventilation rate, using about 1,000 parts per million of CO2 on the monitor to indicate a quote-unquote acceptable level of ventilation. But therein lies a major problem. The ventilation standards that are set for buildings is based on a standard called the Standard for Acceptable Indoor Air Quality, but it's not a standard that works during a pandemic and for control of respiratory viruses. Mm. You want to see numbers down at about 800 parts per million of CO2.
And what about using a CO2 monitor to determine how much of your workforce can come back in? Let's say you can't get your system won't allow a MERV filter of 13. Your MERV filter will only go up to 11. And that there's a Spinal Tap joke in there somewhere, but I get, let's say you can only go up to 11. Is it useful to think of the CO2 monitor to gauge, okay, half the workforce will come in today and half stay home?
Yeah, it is used in this way to set the ventilation rate, or what we call demand control ventilation, which if you have higher CO2, it tells the system there's more people in this space, you need to deliver more air. We've actually recommended disabling this demand control ventilation function. We want air delivered all the time, regardless if it's two people in a room, three people in a room, or 10 people in a room. Mm. But you're right in that organizations can set occupancy limits based on the ability of that room or building to provide these targeted air change per hour metrics. And so if you're not hitting these, then one approach is to de-densify or limit the number of people in the space.
You mentioned the HEPA filters with portable air cleaners. That isn't the same, though. We want to underscore the things that don't work. That's not the same as just having, an air purifier that you picked up off a shelf. And also another thing that is really being sold, apparently, and doesn't work, it's a form of ionizer.
Yeah, bipolar ionization. There's a couple technologies out there. Really want to keep it simple. A portable air cleaner with a HEPA filter, no ionization, no UV. You want a device that has a CADR, it's called a clean air delivery rate, a CADR of 300 for every 500 square feet of room, nothing else.
Okay, and a study in Melbourne showed that two air cleaners with these HEPA filters in a hospital room eliminated 99% of the aerosols. We mentioned maybe putting a fan in a window. We know that famous study that showed that one air conditioner in a restaurant infected, everyone in its path. And we've spoken to restaurant owners who are trying to suck air upwards instead of across rooms.
Yeah, airflow definitely matters. And you don't want to put a fan or anything that's blowing right across somebody's breathing zone, right onto somebody else. And that example you mentioned from the restaurant is interesting because it's not so much that it's the air conditioner was the problem. It's that the air was blowing across all of the patrons and the air was being recirculated through the air conditioner with no filtration on the recirculated air. Had that system had a good filter in it, it's very likely that no one would have been sick in that space because any of the air that was circulated back through the system, all the virus in there, or the majority of it, would have been captured. My team published a study just last week looking at office workers in buildings around the world and showing that higher ventilation rates and higher filtration led to improved cognitive function performance. So when we think about these healthy building strategies that are good for COVID, these are strategies that should have been in place before COVID, and they should stay with us after we get COVID under control as well.
Oh, hear, hear. As someone who gets every office cold.
Right.
And by the way, it's okay to ask your place of work, to ask a local school, what's our MERV filter? I mean, people should be able to speak this language, right?
They are. And what's really interesting is that there's been this shift happen where, before the pandemic, if I asked people on the street, what's a MERV filter, very few people are going to be able to answer that. But now the healthy building literacy is just so high and people are asking about this. And it's great to see.
That is Professor Joseph Allen, director of Harvard's Healthy Buildings Program, a professor at Harvard School of Public Health. Professor, it's like we all just got to go to class. And if people weren't taking notes, we're going to have everything at hereandnow.org. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great to join you, and thanks for joining the class. Thanks.